Welcome to Audio Notes. I'm Patrick Castillo, Artistic Administrator for Music at Menlo, and I have the pleasure of introducing you to this season's Carte Blanche Concerts. The Carte Blanche Concerts are Music at Menlo's signature series of artist-curated programs, featuring some of classical music's finest recitalists and chamber musicians, and spotlighting their musical specialties and curatorial interests. This summer, we have a spectacular series of five Carte Blanche Concerts to complement the season's theme, From Bach. On Saturday, July 20, percussionists Ian Rosenbaum, Ayano Kataoka, and Chris Froh present Percussion Complexities, a bold program of music for percussion, beginning with Bach transcriptions and extending to the 20th and early 21st centuries, where music for percussion has become an increasingly vital and vibrant dimension of the classical music landscape. On Sunday, July 21, violinist Suvin Kim makes his Music at Menlo debut with an epic double recital program of music for solo violin, pairing the chestnuts of the literature, Bach, Paganini, Isai, with their modern counterparts, music by Bartok, John Harbison, Jörg Widmann, and others. On Sunday, July 28 and Sunday, August 4, two longtime festival favorites, cellists Colin Carr and Lawrence Lesser, offer cello evolutions, a pair of programs complementing one another, and featuring the Bach suites for solo cello alongside a selection of works representing the rich tradition of solo cello music that emerged from those iconic suites. And also on Sunday, July 28th, violinist Georgia Flizanis leads Into the Light, a multidimensional chamber music program highlighting the transcendent quality of Bach's secular and spiritual music. For the summer's second Carte Blanche concert, violinist Suvin Kim makes his Music at Menlo debut with a formidable double recital program, traversing the evolution of the solo violin repertoire, from Bieber to Bach through Paganini and into the 21st century. I caught up with Suvin earlier this season to hear his thoughts on the program. So why don't we talk about the program a little bit? It's organized into four parts. Sadistically enough.
Well, it's actually on two recital programs.
Yeah.
And each program will have two halves with an intermission, which I will need because this will be quite a feat for my stamina. It's arranged practically in chronological order, which is really going to be great for both me to experience that and watch how the repertoire developed, and for the audience members as well. I think it'll be fascinating. Not only is it an actual chronological development in terms of the years, but really in terms of how the writing developed for the violin, almost as if each composer studied each work that came preceding. In some cases, that was certainly the case. In others, who knows? So we start with a composer in the 17th century, Bieber, who wrote a set of 15 sonatas for violin and continuo called the Mystery Sonatas, or the Mystery Rosary Sonatas, they're nicknamed. The last of these 15 sonatas being this Passacaglia for solo violin. It was certainly one of the earlier or earliest solo violin works, and I think the best known of the early solo violin works. It's actually built on a very simple descending line, a descending bass line. You hear this descending line stated at the beginning, and then it actually repeats. It's not even just suggested throughout as, let's say, in the more famous Bach Chaconne in the D minor partita, where the bass line is altered and suggested as the movement goes on. But in this, actually, it's just continuous. You'll hear it all the time. And then he writes these very brilliant figurations that develop over the course of the piece. From there, we jump to Telemann. This Telemann Fantasia, it's one of a set of 12 that he wrote for solo violin, is so wonderfully inventive and fresh. It's often said that no one could write single voice polyphonic music like Bach. Single voice polyphony is something that he uses often in his solo violin works, where we're not actually playing multiple voices at the same time. It's just one note at a time. However, it suggests both the melody and the bass and all the harmonies in between as well. A very difficult technique for a composer. But Telemann actually demonstrates this in the best way of all of these composers in addition to Bach. And then we jump right into the closing work on the first half of the first program is Bach's C major solo sonata. It's actually the longest of his works for solo violin. The three sonatas that make up the set each are famous for their fugues that they have as their second movement. This particular fugue is the grandest of all of them. It's not built only on just an opening motive, as in the G minor and A minor fugues, but it's actually a complete choral theme. It's quite melodic and beautiful, therefore, but a real sprawling work. Second half of the first program then goes into real 19th century virtuoso style writing, music written by great virtuosos themselves, but that also demonstrate incredible compositional skill. And the most famous of these virtuosos, certainly in the violin world, arguably in all of Western music as far as instrumentalists are concerned, was the sort of the rock star performer of the 19th century, Niccolo Paganini, the Italian violinist. As a violinist, Paganini really just completely redefined what was possible both to play on the violin and for composers to write for the violin. Bach's and Paganini's works are often the first thing that composition teachers today will give to their composition students as an assignment, simply to study these works or to just copy them out, because they really do define what is possible on the instrument. But Paganini is often unfairly labeled as primarily a technician. And when you read accounts of his concerts, while there is, of course, a great mention of his incredible technical feats, you also read accounts of people of how they were moved to tears by his performances. Must have been incredibly expressive, also very inventive. And you hear this sort of inventiveness, this imagination for sound in his 24 caprices. I'm going to be playing a set of seven of them. I tried to pick seven that were as different from each other as possible to demonstrate his great imagination. The first program closes with a work by Heinrich Wilhelm Ernst, who's a Moravian violinist. He was just a little bit younger than Paganini was, and he really idolized Paganini, as I imagine a lot of violinists did at the time, and sought out Paganini, actually followed him on tour, wanted to play for him, ended up playing a lot of his works. There are, again, legends of duels between the two, seeing who could play in a certain works better. So Ernst was considered a sort of heir to Paganini in Europe. I'll be playing variations on the popular Irish song at the time, The Last Rose of Summer. Ernst actually does end up creating some techniques that Paganini never even really accomplished, at least in that sort of elaborate way. Most famously, there is one variation where the violinist is playing the theme, The Last Rose of Summer, in left-hand pizzicato, which Paganini did in some of his works. However, he never did it with giant arpeggios being played at the same time by the violinist. And the second recital, after we all take a nice break, nice breather, fast forwards, skips the rest of the 19th century, and we go right into the 20th century. The first work on the program is the sixth sonata by Eugène Nizet, the Belgian violinist, who is considered one of the greatest violinists in the world of the late 19th century and the early 20th century. And he wrote this set of six sonatas for solo violin after hearing a performance of violinist Joseph Szigeti, the Hungarian violinist, perform one of the Bach sonatas. So he wrote this set of six sonatas, each dedicated to a very famous violinist of the day, many of whom were his personal friends or simply people he admired. The sixth sonata is dedicated to a Spanish violinist, Manuel Quiroga, who apparently never actually performed it, but must have been a great virtuoso. I don't actually know much about him as a violinist, but Yzai definitely wrote each sonata as an homage to these violinists, incorporated their own personal styles into it. And the sixth is the most brilliant, the most obviously brilliant of the set, also very optimistic work. Yzai, he was a very unique composer. His harmonic language as a composer really didn't seem to descend from anywhere and didn't also seem to lead to anywhere. I consider him someone almost like Janáček. Very unique harmonic language, great imagination for color, could create very eerie sounds at times. His works are after Bach's and Paganini's works, are really the most important set of solo violin works in our repertoire. And then, closing the first half of the second program, is arguably the most important work for solo violin in the 20th century, Bartók's solo violin sonata, a work written for violinist Yehudi Menuhin towards the end of Bartók's life. Bartók actually, he also writes it a little bit as an homage to works in the past, particularly Bach's. He entitles the first movement Tempo di Chaconne, although it is not really a chaconne, but it opens with sort of similar grand chords as Bach's D minor chaconne, also in as a sort of a dance in triple meter. He writes a sort of a fugue, not formally a fugue, but certainly multiple voices conversing with each other as a second movement. Bartók's work, it doesn't actually cover as wide a range of compositional style. Say, essentially, even though there are many chordal passages, essentially, except for most of the fugue, it is written as a single voice work, but just suggesting great harmonic color, both by the violin playing large chords underneath melodies or with this style of single voice polyphonic writing. It's a very moving work in addition to it being brilliant, and it's really the largest work in terms of its scale of the second program. The second half of the second program really fast forwards another 40 years to the next work, and these are now the last three composers are all living composers. And coincidentally, living composers with whom I've had the pleasure to work with a little bit, so it actually adds sort of a personal element to it for me. Their composer John Harbison, American composer, wrote four Songs of Solitude, as he entitled them, as a set. I'm going to be playing two of those Songs of Solitude, the first two. Actually, when I met him, he told me that he considered it his finest work. Still, they were very personal for him because he wrote them as a present for his wife, who premiered the pieces. Also very moving works. The first is very soulful, almost sorrowful, very rhapsodic. The second movement, a little bit lighter hearted, has a more swinging dance feeling. The next work is by Finnish composer Esa-Pekka Salonen. And my quartet, the Johannes Quartet, actually commissioned a string quartet by him a few years ago. He often comes up with clever names for his works. That particular quartet was entitled Homunculus, which I'll leave to the audience to to explore the meaning of. You get a sense of Esa-Pekka's dry humor from that. And this work is entitled Lachen Verlernt, or Laughing Unlearned. And it's a quote from Schoenberg's Piero Lunaire. Sometimes his titles actually don't necessarily have a specific deep meaning into the pieces. This one is very loosely associated. He describes it as... Oh, let me quote this, actually. So in Esa-Pekka Salonen's words, Lachen Verlernt, he found it a moving metaphor of a performer, a serious clown trying to help the audience to connect with emotions they have lost or believe they have lost. As with Homunculus, I find the title doesn't necessarily even pertain to this particular work, but sort of an artistic idea. Mm. And this work, I would describe, is similar in form to some of Esa-Pekka Salonen's other works, in which it warms up into it. It starts very slowly, a very haunting opening melody. He calls it in the form of a chaconne, in that the harmonic progression continues throughout, although you don't hear the bass line and you don't hear a recurring melody either. But I would say it's actually difficult to hear that harmonic progression continuing, nor is it terribly crucial for the listener to hold on to, because the work is, its form is so tight and developed so beautifully, it basically spirals out of control. And this is something that he's known to write very virtuosically for the solo instruments, whether it was in our string quartet or in his orchestral works, his piano concerto, dazzling colors that he likes to write, sort of arrays of color, also very exotic harmonies. The final work that concludes our whole day is by the talented young composer Jörg Wittmann. Jörg Wittmann is a clarinetist, a very fine clarinetist himself, and already a composer whose output is quite substantial already. His sister is a violinist, his younger sister Caroline Wittmann, so he clearly has great understanding of the limitations or the possibilities, let's say, of the instrument. And he has written 6 etudes so far. This particular etude was written in 2002. If you thought the Salonen was spinning out of control, this is really sort of pedal to the metal, you know. It's incredibly brilliant. It actually opens in this a very similar way as the last movement of the Bartok Solo Sonata. I think it will be very clear that analogy. But it just doesn't stop for 5 minutes or so. And yet, it develops, it just, again, is similar to the Salonen, but even in another gear, it spins out of control. It starts with a very eerie Ponticello, otherworldly sound, very low on the violin. And little by little, he expands these into larger arpeggios, scales, figures that climb all the way up to the top of the violin, and then expands into extended techniques like harmonics. Pizzicatos, left-hand pizzicatos, and similar to the Salonen, dies away just at the end of it. But it really does seem to demonstrate how writing for the violin, even though it started off so brilliantly back, even with the first work on our program, the Bieber, certainly by the time of Paganini, it seemed like the limits had been reached. But in its own way, it's constantly developing. And who knows what lies ahead for us.
To hear more of my conversation with Suvin, visit us online at www.musicatmenlo.org/multimedia/audio notes. Audio Notes are authored and produced by Patrick Castillo and narrated by David Finkel, Patrick Castillo, and Wu Han. Additional narration is provided by Andrew Goldstein. Additional mastering is provided by Dahong Situ. Musical excerpts on this disc appear courtesy of the following artists and organizations. Alejandro Vignal's Book of Grooves appears courtesy of the composer. Toru Takamitsu's Rain Tree is performed by the Smoke and Mirrors Percussion Ensemble and appears courtesy of Yarlung Records. The first movement of Steve Reich's Drumming, performed by Russ Hartenberger, Bob Becker, and James Price. Heinrich Ignaz von Bieber's Passacaglia, performed by Reinhard Gabel. J.S. Bach's Solo Violin Sonata No. 3 in C Major, performed by Nathan Milstein. Eugenie Zai's Sonata No. 6, performed by David Oistrakh. Bela Bartok's Sonata for Solo Violin, performed by Victoria Mulova. And Paul Hindemith's Sonata for Solo Cello, performed by Matt Heimowitz, appear courtesy of Deutsche Grammophon. Esa-Pekka Salonen's Lachen Verlernt, performed by Jennifer Koh, appears courtesy of Sedil Records. Sultan Kodai's Opus 8 Sonata for Solo Cello, performed by Natalie Klein, appears courtesy of Hyperion Records. J.S. Bach's Cello Suites are performed by and appear courtesy of Christopher Costanza. J.S. Bach's Violin Concerto in E Major, performed by Ida Kavafian, Jessica Lee, Amy Lee, Mark Holloway, and Andreas Brantelid. And Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart's String Quintet in G Minor, performed by the Orion String Quartet and Michael Tree, appear courtesy of the Chamber Music Society of Lincoln Center. Georg Friedrich Handel's Eternal Source of Light Divine is performed by and appears courtesy of Apollo's Fire. J.S. Bach's Jauchzet Gott in Allen Landen is performed by Emma Kirkby and the English Baroque Soloists, conducted by John Elliott Gardner, and appears courtesy of Decca Records. Audio Notes is a copyrighted production of Artist Led.